Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump is rallying in Georgia tonight for two Republican senators who face runoff elections next month. Once again, Trump made baseless claims of a rigged election in the state.
When they collect the ballots and they start bragging about how many ballots they already have, you got to make sure your Secretary of State knows what the hell he's doing. And you got to make sure your governor gets a lot tougher than he's been.
Earlier, Trump called the state's governor, Brian Kemp, asking him to call the state legislature back to session and overturn the election results. Kemp declined. Meanwhile, Monday is the final day for Georgians to register to vote in the Senate runoffs. Emil Moffitt of member station WABE has more.
Following President-elect Joe Biden's win in Georgia, Democrats hope momentum is on their side, with Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff trying to unseat Republicans Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Georgia saw record turnout in the November election with nearly 5 million votes cast. But the Secretary of State's office is warning against people from out of state trying to relocate to Georgia for the sole purpose of voting, which is against the law. More than 1 million absentee ballots have been requested ahead of the runoff.
Emil Moffitt reporting. A new report says microwave radiation is the most likely cause of illnesses suffered by dozens of U.S. diplomats stationed in Cuba and China in recent years. The report was produced by the National Academies of Sciences, and NPR's Greg Myrie has more.
More than 40 American diplomats based in Cuba and China have reported ailments that include persistent migraines, dizziness, and memory loss. The cause has been a mystery. The State Department said little, but asked the National Academies of Sciences to investigate. Dr. David Relman, who led the study, says some type of radio frequency energy, such as microwave radiation, is the most plausible explanation.
What we can say is that something real and significant clinically happened to these people.
The study did not address who was responsible or what the motive might have been. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
With more than 100,000 people hospitalized with COVID-19, some states are scrambling to help hospitals remain fully staffed, including Tennessee. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN has more.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed an executive order giving hospitals access to medics in the National Guard, but only if they're already activated. The state's trying not to pull anyone from their civilian job, since many are already working in a hospital or as an emergency responder. Texas has also deployed thousands of contracted health workers to hospitals who are short on staff. Many facilities are having trouble because their own nurses and respiratory therapists are out with the coronavirus. Some states have begun allowing them to keep working so long as they feel okay. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
And you're listening to NPR News. It's time for St. Nicholas to visit children in Belgium and the Netherlands, along with his controversial sidekick, traditionally known as Black Pete. Terry Schultz reports on how accusations that the character is racist are having an impact on the way the holiday is celebrated.
The coronavirus pandemic has muted holiday celebrations significantly this year, but the portrayal of the character known as Black Pete has been changing slowly for years. In Belgium and the Netherlands, the assistant to St. Nicholas has long been a white person in blackface, a racist caricature for many. A new survey in the Netherlands by I&O Research shows a decline in people insisting Black Pete should be portrayed like this. 4 years ago, 65% of respondents in the Netherlands wanted the character left unchanged. This year, that figure is just under 40%. Half of Dutch people in this survey believe in another decade the tradition will be gone altogether. One variation has emerged with daubs of black face paint and changing the name to Soot Smudge Pete. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
A federal judge has ruled that the Trump administration has to accept new applications for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA, that protects some young immigrants from deportation. The judge says the government has to post a public notice within 3 days that new DACA applications are being accepted. This ruling follows one from November where the judge said Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf was unlawfully in his position and that invalidated Wolf's order suspending DACA. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.